NGB on Radio 1 and 1 Extra.
This show contains bad language. If you don't like it, head to bbc.co.uk/Radio 1 and check out another show.
Tonight, Benji B, Radio 1, 1 Extra, here for the next 2 hours. Shout out to Hugh Stevens, big up Chrissy Chris. Head to the BBC iPlayer to catch their shows for the next 7 days. I'm here till 4, welcome along.
Both being on some chill shit, we go 0 to 100 real quick. Be on that rap to pay the bill shit. And I don't feel that shit, not even a little bit. Oh Lord, know yourself, know your worth, worth. My actions being louder than my words. I can tie your soul, I been still sold down to earth. Won't do it, we could do it on a turf. Morgan. Oh Lord, I'm the rookie and the vet. Shout out to the positions I ain't holding down the set. All up in my phone looking at pictures from the other night. She gon' be upset if she keep scrolling to the left, dog. She gon' see some shit that she don't wanna see. She ain't ready for it. If I ain't the greatest, then I'm headed for it. Yeah, that mean I'm way up. Yeah, the six ain't friendly, but that's where I lay up. The shit I'm off, lay up. I been Steph Curry with the shot. Been cooking with the sauce. Chef Curry with the pot, boy. 360 with the wrist, boy. Hey, who the f*** is, boy? OVO, man, we really with the shits, boy. Yeah. Really with the shits, I should probably sign a hit, boy, cause I got all the hits, boy. Oh, fuck all that Drake, you gotta chill shit. I be on my little mouse drill shit. Oh, fuck all that rap to pay your bill shit. Yeah, I'm on some rappers, pay my bills shit. All up on TV, I thought it made me richer. Wasn't paying me enough, I needed something quicker. So now I'm all in Nico basement, putting working on the phones. Either that or drive the money mark to make the pickups. Man, it's 2008, I'm trying to paint the picture. Comeback season in the works and now I'm thinking bigger. I got 40 in the studio, every night, late night. Gotta watch that shit, don't wanna make them sicker. That's my nigga. Oh Lord, got a whole lot to show for it. I mean, we could really get it, we could go for it. I'm just here for the bucks and the billies. Don't make me kill one of the ghosts for it. I run this shit, they like, go for us. Run for us, run for us, go for us. Yeah, I mean, you already wrote for us. Damn, damn, what's one more quote for us? Oh Lord, who else sounding like this? They ain't made me what I am, they just found me like this. I was ready. That I've been ready since my dad used to tell me he would come into the house to get me. He ain't show. Valuable lesson, man, I had to grow up. That's why I never ask for help. I do it for you, say I do it for myself. I go 0 to 100, real quick. Real quick, whole squad on that real shit. 0 to 100, real quick. Real quick, real quick. Cause 0 to 100, real quick. Real quick, whole squad on that real shit. 0 to 100, real quick. Real quick, real, real quick, quick.
Radio 1 and 1 Extra. One extra.
Whole squad on that real shit. Whole squad on that real shit.
Whole squad on that real shit. Yeah. The other night, Lavish Lee told me that I'm all these people listen to. She said they love me unconditional. Imagine how I feel to watch a nugget nigga at the top. You know that if you wasn't you, you would be dissing you, dawg. Damn, okay, from that perspective, I see what you talking about. No way to soften that. Cause me, I was trying to find out where I lost them at. But maybe I ain't lose them at all. Maybe I keep moving forward and they're just stagnant. They ain't moving at all. But when they need their favor, who do they call? Maybe I'm searching for the problems, asking what was said and who was involved. Too focused on people's feedback and proving them wrong. They say the shoe can always fit no matter who for the zone. These days feel like I'm squeezing in them. Whoever wore them before just wasn't thinking big enough. I'm about to leave them with them. Cause if I run the game in these, man, the seams are splitting. No pun intended, but they smelling defeat in the air. Headed where nobody took it, who meeting me there? They tell him that he talking crazy, but he doesn't care. Being humble don't work as well as being aware. Listen up, boy, you better off eavesdropping. We already got spring 2015 popping. PMD dropping, reps up, Pete dropping. Magic Jordan dropping, OB dropping, not to mention me dropping. Feel like we paid the refs off, man, we fixed the game. Me and Noel been at it before Twitter names. Yeah, been on the move like the lease is up. And I can't even name one person that's keeping up. Damn, I was in the past tense. Ask yourself, how do we match up now? Cause I'm only 27 and I'm only getting better. If I haven't passed you yet, watch me catch up now, for real.
Could it be the way life will catch up? Could it be the way life will catch up? Could it be the way life will catch up? Could it be the way life will catch up?
Radio 1.
broadcasting on BBC Radio 1 and 1 Extra simultaneously tonight. Benji B here until 4. Special show later on, we will be getting into our label focus, looking at Mo Wax Records with special guest James Lavelle in the studio. More about that in a minute. But first of all, we have to say massive shout out to everyone that got in touch with us following last week's show. Checked out Martin's In 3 Records on SoundCloud. Shout out to Martin. Track in the background, another one taken from his new EP. The show tonight with another track from Yukimi Nagano and Friends, the brand new little album. It's not a little album, it's a big album. Little Dragon. Yep. LP is called Nabuma Rubber Bands. Track you heard, Clap Clap. After that one, brand new Drake. Just Bars. Absolutely killing it. 0 to 100. On fire at the moment. Dropped this week. Just a couple of days ago, to be precise. Seek and you will find. We also played music from Burial, one of my favourite tracks. Possibly my favourite track by Burial, actually. Shell of Light, and I'm happy to say that that has been picked to be on the next Hyperdub compilation in celebration of their 10th anniversary. Just received that one this week. It's kind of got a sort of soulful, almost R&B flavour all the way through it. Tracks by Morgan Zerati, Code 9, Cooley G, Dean Blunt, Terra Danger, and much more. And that tune from Burial, Shell of Light. In the background, music from our special guest last week, the one and only Martin.
Radio 1 and 1 Extra.
Some new club music, a collaboration between DJ Die and Dismantle. Mantle. Track called Over the Edge. DJ Die and Dismantle. Listen to Benji B on BBC Radio 1 and 1 Extra tonight. And later on, we're very pleased to welcome James Lavelle of Mowax into the studio for our next label focus. Bit of a different one tonight because it is officially our first label focus where we're looking at a label that is not releasing music anymore, and we thought it was really perfect timing to start this sort of new lane of label focus because it is the 21st anniversary this year of the label, and to celebrate they're releasing this book called Urban Archaeology, celebrating the sort of look and feel and sound, of course, of Mowax, which is a very iconic label. There's an exhibition on starting next week at the South Bank, and James Lavelle, our special guest, is also curating a festival called Meltdown as well. So a lot is happening for him in and around the Mowax label. We thought now's the right time to look at its influence on what's going on today. Some classic records including DJ Shadow, DJ Crush, Uncle of course, and some classic artwork and sleeves by the likes of 3D Del Naja from Massive Attack and Future 2000. We'll be talking more about that with our special guest later tonight. Mr. James Lavelle talking through Mowax, a sort of label focus retrospective tonight.
Listening to the vibes of Benji B.
Radio 1 and 1 Extra.
In into this one brand new from Dark Sky. Shout out to Annie Mac, holding down mornings on Radio 1 after Grimmy this week, standing in for Fern Cotton, sounding good. We should get her this tune actually, I think she'd be into this. Brand new from Dark Sky, this one's called Odyssey. Play this for John Brent, Navel Shadi, Trey Hicks, Paul Gabriels, Dan Sugar, Katrina Pallant, Rehan Raya, Piers Barber, Wayne Gilks, Eugene Tossel, Mark Halugas, all coming through on email and Facebook. Thanks for your feedback. Shout out to Erin Sullivan, long-time listener, emailing in for the first time. Much love. We got Mark Kelly, Kate in Birmingham, Jacob Jordan, Tanya, Uncle Diego, Jeffrey Schrouder, Craig Anderson, Richard Hawkins, everyone that left us a message. BenjiB@bbc.co.uk if you want to do the same.
You're listening to Benji B. Radio 1.
Drinks love to feed the lungs. She never likes to get blind. Has he got enough money to spend? Leave now, he's too firm. He doesn't like you when the girls go. Has he got enough money to spend?
I play with these.
Dropped out of college, down, she was down when I rode in Pilots. Play with a bit of energy, yeah, she was down with the foreplay driving. Jumped in the car when she hit my digits. No one, then just to pull up at the projects. Easy to meet my villa with a scene. Youngin' always seen with a killer. Hand stitched by my dealer. Dealing with a scene, you ain't seen what you mean, Margilla. Got the scripts for the cough. In the age, gotta hit Johnny for the frost. Swerved off, it had been a minute since I seen a weird. From the corner, put it on for the south. On oh, my mama, North. Go, grab my Bobby, go, grab my Connie. Keep your head, head my billionaires, my time that might take. They playing with them.
BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1.
Why though? Cause I said so. Yeah. Deep in that Pepto. I got five on it like Ben Folds. I got more tail than that Petco. You faker than some Sweet and Low. Yeah, you got some silverware, but really, are you eating though?
Yeah.
Are you eating though? Breakfast, lunch, and dinners for beginners, you ain't even know. Never catching cases, why they faces look so EMO. Watch a hater hate me, wanna play me like a piano. My architect, no Japanese, yo girl, she Japanese. No hands like Socrates, yo boys like Socrates. You ain't Japanese, you ain't looking like me. Nah, I ain't checking ID, but I found some with no problem, tell them problem. I'm winning.
yeah, yeah, I'm winning.
Why?
I'm winning, yeah, yeah, I'm winning.
Why?
I'm winning, yeah, yeah, I'm winning.
Why?
Rich kid, paint me as a villain.
Why?
Don't be mad, cause I'm doing me better than you doing you. Don't be mad, cause I'm doing me better than you doing you. Don't be mad, cause I'm doing me better than you doing you. Better than you doing you, you.
Different color my passport, Instagram my stack load, hashtag my day wear, and your girl drank my daycare, and I'm born rich, life ain't fair.
Silver spoon, boom, boom.
Ain't nobody sicker in my Fisker, boom, boom, ho, ain't nobody. Fiskers don't make noise when they start up, just so you know.
Top of the holy totem, rich forever, a million was not the quota. My father owned half the MoMA and did it with no diploma. Year off, got no rules, tripping off of them toadstools. More green than my Whole Foods, and I'm too fly. Jeff Goldblum got a glass house in the Palisades. That AKA white hood, OKKK. Furniture custom, you shop at IKEA. So Maserati, you ripping the Kia. Spending this money is longer than near. Live like a Coppola, me and Sophia. Waking up broke man, wouldn't wanna be a friends with a dope man, bring a girlfriend, man, trouble when I see her. And I'm on a pier. Oh, I got my cool on.
Tell them, man.
I'm winning, so they had to dunk the Gatorade. And I don't give a fuck about my family name.
Radio 1.
Listening to the world famous BBC Radio 1. I could listen to this on loop all day. But we won't. Always time for a little touch of that. You heard music from Childish Gambino, taking the internet by storm right now. And before that one, Respin for Travis Scott, Don't Play. In the background, something brand new on Stone's Throw. Track called Mind Sign. Sorry, artist called Mind Sign. Track called Text. With a little recognizable theme in it.
Yep.
A little message from the stars. Yeah. time to give you some gigs. It's another jam-packed weekend around the UK, and our selection sounds like this. Thursday night, The Party Squad, Scream, Artwork, Route 94 and more at the Dance Tunnel in Dalston. Recipe for good music and a big night out, that's for sure. Don't forget you can catch Scream every Friday night here on BBC Radio 1. Also on Thursday in Leeds, Jackmaster plays at the Faversham, and on Friday night it's a big one. I'll be at XOYO in London for my club night, where I am welcoming Todd Edwards to the basement. Those that know understand my excitement. Todd the God, garage legend Todd Edwards, and one of my favourite new DJs, Jay Daniel from Detroit, and many more at XOYO in London Friday night. Elsewhere in the capital you can catch Goldie the Legend, D-Bridge, Breakage and many more at Fabric, and Goldie will be doing a full orchestral rendition of Timeless in full at James Lavelle's Meltdown, but I'll let him tell you more about that shortly. Levon Vincent plays audio in Brighton. Hudson Mohawk is back in the UK and is playing alongside B-Traits at Reading University Students Union on Friday night. That'll be big. I know he's sitting on some heaters at the moment, so get yourself down there. Radio 1's Rob DeBank and Martello, one of our favourite DJs and people in music, both play at Orange Rooms in Southampton. Should we have that again? Yes. Reload. Plenty going on in Bristol as well. Red Light, MJ Cole, Bodica, Spencer, DJ Q and more at Motion. Flying Lotus is back in the UK alongside his mate Thundercat and his alter ego Captain Murphy. They'll be at Colston Hall, and Lapalux and Ilham Sphere at Start the Bus. Saturday night looks like this. Paul Woolford is at the Queen's University Students Union in Belfast. Ben UFO and Midland play at Underland in Manchester together. Joy Orbison plays the Boxing Club in Bristol. Kyle Hall plays St Jude's in Scotland, Glasgow to be precise. And in the capital, London, Levon Vincent and Anthony Naples are at Village Underground. Jackmaster, Daniel Avery, AIM and Gerd Janssen play Oval Space. Andrew Weatherall and the Two Bears are at XOYO. Tama Sumo plays Studio Spaces in Shoreditch. Roman Flugel, The Don, Move D and Roy Davis Jr. are at Fabric. And Hatcher plays a UK garage set along with Terror Danger and more at the Lockside Lounge in Camden. There you have it. If there are any gigs that you think should have been in there, benjib@bbc.co.uk. Just drop us a line. We do the gig guide every week now. And this man will be in the UK as part of Meltdown, playing alongside James Lavelle. And he is our special guest, the man responsible for the record label that released this record and many, many more. That's next on BBC Radio 1.
Radio 1 and 1 Extra. You're listening to Benji B.
We'll be right back.
listening to BBC Radio 1 on a Wednesday night. Benji B sat here with the one and only James Lavelle. Welcome to the studio, sir.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. You?
Yeah, good.
Good.
So regulars to this show will know that we do a little thing called Label Focus, where we look at some of our favourite record labels. But I have to say that this is the first retrospective Label Focus we've ever done, looking at a label who made a massive contribution some time back now.
Yeah.
And the reason we've chosen this particular era to focus on Mo Wax is not only, of course, because you're celebrating with an exhibition and of course curating Meltdown this year, but also because it is 20 years or is it 21
21 years. Amazingly enough, 21 years
since you started the label.
Yeah
Happy birthday.
Yeah, indeed. It's amazing, a real step down memory lane just even hearing this now.
And it's going to be a pure memory lane evening for you, because I spent the entire afternoon in my record archive just going through. I even surprised myself. I knew that I had a lot of your music that I'd bought at the time. I was a complete Mo Wax enthusiast and bought most of the releases, which we'll talk about. But I even surprised myself how much stuff I had. I couldn't even fit. I just had to decide just to bring one record box worth. I couldn't even fit it all in one box. And what's amazing about it is that when I was going through all the vinyl today, I could kind of just identify it immediately from the spine alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just got such an iconic look and feel. So we're currently playing a track off sort of like a very important album in defining Mo Wax's sort of sound and era, called Heads. How do you feel when you see this sleeve and hear
it
this?
It brings back a lot of memories. It's definitely one of the kind of moments where things really came together. It's one of the first compilations we released. It features a lot of the key artists of the label at the time. There's artwork by 3D from Massive Attack, Swifty. There's the first ever Will Bankhead photo collaboration in there. So it's quite an amazing historical moment for the label, you know, and who was hanging out at the time and all of those things.
100%. And there's so much to talk about with the label. If you're not familiar with the label and you're listening tonight, this is going to be a great education and hopefully a chance to go and check some of it out as well. But I mean, what James mentioned just there in terms of the combination of people and artists, it really did extend beyond just the music with Mo Wax. And, you know, Will Bankhead, 3D Del Naja, you know, Swifty, of course, from the original days. But do you want to name some other influential artists that you brought through?
Futura was a major part of the label. Ben Drury, who designed a major proportion of the label, and I still work with now. We work with, you know, so many different people, from Mark Gonzalez through to Glenn Friedman, great photographers like Solvay and Warren Dupree and Nick Thornhill Jones, and, you know, like really people that have made great contributions both to the label and to the creative world since, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And it's the 21st anniversary edition tonight. You've got a book with a lot of that material in.
Yeah, so the book's called Urban Archaeology, and that comes out with this exhibition, which is starting this month, basically. So that's really exciting. And that's been a kind of my life, and sort of a lot of the last year of my life's been dedicated to getting that together and show the label in various different ways, both essentially musically as a record label, but also all of the other things that went around it and came around it, both the clubs and the cultures of the time, you know, and the different people that we collaborated with, from, you know, different, from clothing and toys like Bathing Ape and Medicom through to labels like Grand Royale and the Beastie Boys. And yeah, it's a great collection of a lot of amazing memories.
And in the background, one of the most iconic Mo Wax covers, the first time we saw the Uncle figures, or the first time I saw them anyway.
Yeah.
From the Time Has Come EP.
Yeah, it's the first time that the Futura characters came to life on a Moax record, and became the kind of identity of Uncle. So yeah, and that led to Futura doing a lot of covers for the label over the years, not just for Uncle, but things like DJ Crash and DJ Shadow, an integral collaborator, you know, an amazing artist.
In the background, a tune that really does sum up the atmosphere of the era when this record came out, Portishead on the remix for Uncle. James Lavelle, special guest in the studio, talking Moax, Radio 1.
Death, love, hate, wealth, poverty, racism. Just a few things been running through my head.
Listen! We call on you! Listen! Now we call on you! Hear us now.
Music, it says on the back here, recorded over spring summer 1993, so we are revisiting a good 20 years ago right now. Produced by DJ Shadow, international A&R James Lavelle. DJ Shadow and the Groove Robbers, Influx, Was this the first Shadow record you put out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was the one. The one that changed it all. Yeah.
So clearly, I mean, it's no secret that the most crossover, for want of a less lazy description, artist that you had was probably DJ Shadow and what you went on
yeah,
to do with producing.
Yeah.
How did you first hook up with Shadow? How did that relationship come about?
I discovered a record that he had done on a label that I was really into that I'd collected, a label called Hollywood Basic. And it was this remix of an African hip-hop band called Zimbabwe Legit.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. It was just this really, very similar to what you're hearing now, on the similar vibe. And it's actually on the latter Heads record, the second Heads album. But I kind of slept on it for a bit. And I kept going back to it and just really liking this record. And I had a conversation with my friend who was working at Tommy Boy in America at the time, who had, you know, were one of the most brilliant hip-hop labels of the era. And he and I sort of mentioned, do you know this guy, DJ Shadow? And he was like, yeah, you should speak to him. You're kind of similar, you know, and what he's doing definitely would suit what you're doing over there more than it does us. And he gave me his number and I called him up and we just had one of those crazy conversations as you do when you on the phone where you just, you know, just click. And we spoke for hours about, you know, our love of hip-hop and breaks and, you know, sample culture. And you know, he was very informed about European and English hip-hop at the time, and also was quite aware of what was going on in Japan, which I was as well. And we just bonded very quickly, and I asked him to make a record, and that this record is the result of that conversation.
Right. And how old are you at this point?
18.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how are you in the position at 18 years old to already be asking people from California to sort of make records?
Good question. I'd started the label and it's very strange sort of in retrospect. I don't really know. It just happened, you know, and you had to find the things that you loved. You had to reach out, you know, you had to go and find these people.
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise you didn't, you know. I had a magazine column in Straight No Chaser, so I was writing about records. I was DJing, so I was, my obsession was to find records that nobody else had, which I think is still quite a big obsession of most DJs.
Yeah.
And you had to, you know, a lot of that, what was going on at the time was trying to have new exclusive tracks, and you couldn't just put them up on the internet, so you had to either, somebody had to release them or you had to press them up.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't even, you didn't have CDJs back then or anything like that. It was vinyl, that was it, you know. Couldn't play a cassette in a club, you know, that wasn't going to work. So a lot of the time you'd end up cutting acetates and you'd sort of end up, you know, and I started my label and through there started, you know, reaching out to people and people would get in contact with me and it kind of just, it just grew. And in an amazing way, it grew incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
But the dynamic of it is just very different than it is now. Maybe, you know, it's strange.
Well, I thought one of the, you know, really good reasons to have this discussion and have you in on the show was because, you know, from my perspective, it's a really iconic label that is actually really influencing, you know, a lot of stuff that's happening now.
Yeah.
And it, as the sort of second cycle comes around of people, you know, buying a lot of vinyl again, buying a lot of physical product again, and also sort of digital music has now gone through its weird adolescent period where it wasn't quite sure what it was, and you can buy product digitally now that has artwork and all of the same aesthetic things that were important to you and the physicality of a label like Mowax. So, I mean, when you started the label, why did you feel the need to start a record label? What was your sort of mission statement? You know, did you want to have some cultural significance with it?
Yeah, even though I'm not sure that I had such a game plan. I wanted to work in a record company. I couldn't get a job. My friends around me that were making music that I liked were not having the opportunity to release the records that we thought would be good to get out. And I suppose I kind of took that role upon me to try and put out records and be able to create a place where me and my friends' records were being released, essentially in the beginning, you know. And also, like I said, for me to, you know, it was very much about a very sort of small competition between DJ circles where you kind of wanted your own label, you wanted to be able to have your own identity, your own crew, your own kind of way of expressing yourself. And you know, it kind of came through that as much as anything else. I think.
Mm.
And it, you know, the you know, I'd been influenced by labels which had a very strong identity visually, you know, and I think.
Like what? Like which labels?
Well, on the British side of things, it would have been labels like Talking Loud and Warp. On the American side of things, it was labels like Def Jam and Tommy Boy and Celluloid, Hollywood Basic. Japan was Major Force. They all had very strong visual identities, logos, and they all had a certain kind of, in many ways, it was a slight, a street aesthetic, to, you know. And also labels like Blue Note and ECM and early, you know, early Island and labels which, you know, again, a lot of, in the early days of most labels, there tends to be quite a strong sense of identity, Factory, you know.
Yeah.
And my love of, you know, I grew up with the identity that the visual, you know, canvas of my time, the things that inspired me and my friends were what was going on with street art and graffiti from America, and so naturally gravitated towards people like Goldie and 3D, and because they were the best street artists of the time coming out of the UK.
I mean, in the background we're listening to a track taken from Strictly Turntablized, which is an album by DJ Crush from Japan. And I mean, even as we look at the credits on the back here, you know, obviously there's your name, and then there's Tim Goldsworthy, who went on to do DFA, and there's Fraser Cook, who's very influential in streetwear and footwear and cover art by Futura 2000, who obviously is one of the most legendary street artists and graffiti writers of all time, and has transcended that genre completely. Sleeve designed by Swifty, who, as you said, was influential to you with Talking Loud. It's and then the Crush logo itself by Bren Dury. Everyone's credited, and it's an amazing collection of sort of artistic minds that you've put together for someone so young, really.
It was a very, very exciting time, and it was that moment when a generation of people in a certain place came together. And I think you see that in art and music and bands, you know. Why does a group like, I don't know, for sake of argument, Radiohead come together? Or, you know, how does the Office of Factory come together? Or Warp? Or it's a strange thing, but I think a certain time, a certain moment, and a certain group of people find each other, and each has their own strength, you know. My strength was trying to persuade and put everybody together and try and kind of make a sense of a collage, but everybody else would have this strong sense of something that they were doing, which was very creatively individual and strong. And so when you put a when everybody comes to come, you know, came together, it was an amazing energy. But you don't necessarily know that or feel that at the time, you know. I didn't particularly think what I was doing was going to be, we were going to be sitting and talking about it now. And I, you know, you didn't feel cool, or, you know, you, everybody, you know, you're the people that you were looking up to, the ones who were cool, you were just trying to be your heroes, you know. You wanted to be Massive Attack or the Wild Bunch, or, you know, you wanted to be Pete Rock, or, you know, those were the people you really wanted to be hanging out with, you know. You wanted to know what it was like to be in the studio when Tribe Called Quest were doing Low End Theory, or, you know, you wanted to be in, you know, in Grand Royale and Beastie Boys magazine, you know. Those were your kind of, those were the things, the things that you were setting your sights, the dreams, you know. And amazingly enough, some of the people that had influenced me and my friends came through those doors, which was an incredible, amazing thing. I think what's strange is it was just so quick, but then again, in retrospect, I think a lot of things just are, you know. And and the, you know, when you kind of have that moment and everybody's kind of connecting at the same time, and that energy, it's quite an amazing sort of explosion of content that can come out of things like that. You know, it's all you're thinking about, you know. There's a, it's quite a nice quote in the Mowax book where sort of talking about the fact that, you know, you'd go to somewhere like Bar Rumba on a Monday night, where you'd used to play as well, and then you go to Speed on a Tuesday, and a Sunday night you go to Metalheads. And, you know, every, you know, by Monday or Tuesday, all you talk about is the records that you had heard in that club. That
100%.
Was all you talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was a few other things, but that was the general focus of your thing. And you lived, and you just lived and breathed it, you know.
And people still do. And people are doing that right now.
Yeah,
and I think it's kind of like, important to recognize. I wanted to throw this beat on. In fact, I'm going to reload it because I think, you know, you talking about how a whole generation of artists, labels, A&R people, DJs, producers, musicians, etc., had inspired you to do Mowax. I meet people, very young people, who are like a whole generation definitely influenced by this album in the background, Introducing, yeah, which is sort of like a peak moment, obviously, yeah, in Shadow's, yeah, career and, yeah, Mowax's history. But I think this track in the background, particularly Mutual Slump, really sums up, yeah, that sort of dedication and commitment to sort of vinyl digging and breaks culture, basically.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we should play this one next. Taken from Introducing, this is Mutual Slump. Introducing DJ Shadow, Mowax Records, special guest James Lavelle, Mr. Mowax himself in the studio on Radio 1 tonight, and such an iconic cover, that one as well, the gatefold.
Yeah, no, it's a record store in Sacramento. It was one of the first places I ever went when I met Josh, and he used to live in Davis, California, which is near Sacramento, and there were two record stores, and that was the second record store I went to that day. First I ever met him.
And for people that sort of aren't familiar with this era of kind of real digging culture,
yeah,
and dedication to the quest for breaks and, you know, rare records and stuff, of which of course Josh, DJ Shadow, is like a famous person of having like a crazy collection, all that. Do you want to sort of paint a picture about what that culture was about at the time?
Yeah, I mean, you were heavily influenced by hip-hop, and the main source of making hip-hop records at the time were samples, and most of them were at the time sourced from soul and funk records. And you had to go, you know, these were old records, so most of them were not available to buy anymore, so you'd have to go to secondhand record stores and search for records that you either knew existed or half had sort of been told might exist. And it was this endless search for the holy grail of beats and samples. And some of those were things that you'd discover that you'd kind of appropriate yourself, and other things were things that you know had been used by people. And that was the culture that, you know, me and Shadow, that was the language that me and Shadow communicated, essentially. You know, it was through collecting records, old records, you know. But you couldn't, you know, some things could take 10 years to find, you know. Yeah. Some things have still never to this day been found. But it, you know, it took you on an amazing journey. What you have to remember is, by, you know, you have to think, by doing that, if you wanted to get the sneakers that you wanted, you had to go to New York. If you wanted to get, you know, if you wanted to have the craziest Japanese obscure hip-hop record collection, you had to go to Japan. You had to find a way to get to these places. You would build a... You would go on a journey, and through that journey you would discover mutual friends. Well, you'd meet people that had similar, you know, things that they were into, and that's how you built your social network. That's how you became friends. And it sort of... you didn't have the internet, but in a weird way, you kind of, it's not dissimilar how it grew, but you had, but it kind of came from having to really go out and find these things, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it wasn't just like countries and people that you connected, it was styles of music as well, which we'll talk about next. Throw this one on because you mentioned the Speed nightclub, James, and this reminded me of it because obviously Mowax was at a time when the sound in the background was its absolute peak.
Yeah.
And how did that influence you?
I mean, it was just so exciting.
Yeah.
The energy was amazing. I mean, I remember the first time, the first two records that really kind of broke into the world that we were really sort of in at the time were Ronnie Size's first record and Goldie, Inner City Life, and hearing those for the first time was pretty insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I was aware of what was going on in the sense that, you know, I knew about, you know, hardcore and then drum and bass, and my friend was a really big drum and bass DJ, and he kind of, he was like, look, you know, you should hear some of these records that are happening at the moment. Things are going out of control. And I hadn't been going to things like Rage or anything like that. You know, I'd kind of, I was in more of the Talking Loud period of my life, you know. And suddenly hearing all these new records that were being made was insane, and then it was just an explosion, and it was like, you know, we, you know, lots of it became more eclectic bunch of DJs playing drum and bass, as well as what was going on with Metalheads and Speed and Ronnie and all those things. I mean, it was, you know, and also, you know, Moax and lots of labels like Talking Loud and stuff were working with drum and bass artists at the time. We were doing a lot of remixes, like this is Pesce remix of Rob D, you know, Club to Death, which was also a really big record in its own right, you know?
Yeah, that was a massive tune. And you know, the reason I wanted to raise that is because I think people take it for granted now that, you know, there's a sort of a, might be a Carl Craig remix of Lana Del Rey, or I don't know, whatever example you want to give. But I feel like you were one of the first people to really do that. Like one of the first people to get Pesce to remix Rob D, or get Ronnie Size to remix, you know, or even Carl Craig, and bring different worlds together.
I think that was part of what was one of the early strengths of Moax, was bringing this kind of eclectic, you know, and sort of the idea was breaking down barriers and messing up heads, and having techno people remixing hip hop tracks, and sort of fusing, you know, drum, everybody kind of fusing in, and it became quite, and it came a really great palette, because then people were even turning it on their heads even further, where you'd have something like Fotech trying to do like a slow beat mix 90s, of something, or you know, like that was a great record on Metalheads, you know, and it was, you know what. Part of it, man, looking back, is like it was an industry. We all created an industry, because everybody was, you know, you'd have, people would constantly be remixing everything, you know, and you, people would be making covers and this, but you know, and you just, everything was constantly just happening, you know, and everybody was feeding each other, and you kind of needed that for it to kind of work.
Yeah,
it had to be this kind of 365, like constantly things happening. Because it just fed everybody, you know, and that was why it's so exciting, you know. And that whole era was quite like that, I think, you know.
And one thing, I mean, clearly, you know, in the pre-internet era, you discovered, you know, Josh, DJ Shadow on the West Coast of America, and someone living in the UK, you discovered DJ Crush from Japan, you know. But not only did you sort of sign people as Moax recording artists, you actually found hot records from other countries and licensed them for the UK as well. Like
a lot of it was like that, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of it.
And I mean, you put a lot of people on to different areas of music, including the tune in the background, which is the first time I heard this tune through Moax for sure, for the first time, which is Patrick Pulsinger, I.O.
Yeah.
Tell us about discovering this, and sort of, I think people often, you know, associate Moax with instrumental hip hop and that kind of tempo music. But
I mean,
it's
one of the biggest
influences
was about techno at the time, really. Yeah. And there was a record store called Fat Cat, who it was kind of one of the places to go, you know, it's one of the places to hear great new eclectic music, and to hang out with your friends, you know. And these kind of weird European records were coming through, you know, quite underground releases. You know, they'd come in one day, they'd disappear, you know. You'd go into a store like that, find these kind of interesting records, play them out, realise that they, you know, they started getting a... The great thing in those days about DJing is you'd have time to build a record, and you could give life to a record. You know, the whole thing was about breaking records, you know, and that could take time. So you could find something where nobody had heard it, start playing it, then realize that people were getting into it. People would start asking you about it. Where do you get it from? Blah, blah, blah. And you start realizing, well, you know, this would be great to put out, you know, but not in a way that, you know, that still happens kind of in pop, but it doesn't happen so much in sort of, in more underground things, I think, just because also the nature is that it was all vinyl based back in those days. So
yeah, well, it's 100% vinyl tonight, James.
It is amazing. It is.
I brought my whole collection in here, mate.
Yeah.
In the background, from a 12-inch series that I've still got called Excursions, Moax Excursions. This is the first of a series of 5 excursions into techno. That's what it says on the label. Classic, I.O. aka Patrick Pulsinger. Is this Claire? Yeah. You listen to Benji B Wednesday night, Radio 1, special guest James Lavelle in the studio. Moax special.
Radio 1. Radio 1.
Music by Coke DiGiorgio, right?
Yeah.
Underneath the... Sorry, not underneath.
As one, right?
As One, yeah.
Yeah, it sort of came out in the latter era of the label when we were with XL Records.
So just touch on that briefly without going too much into the business side of the industry. Like,
I started out as an independent,
yeah.
And then I did a deal with A&M Records, which then kind of got folded into Island Records, which then became Universal. And I left, and I started... Moax Reef started again with XL, who people will know for bands like The XX and Adele and many others, great records. But that was kind of an interesting era that where, unfortunately, the label didn't kind of really happen in the same way. But actually now, hearing a lot of the releases from that period, they were really great releases.
Mm.
Just times changed.
I definitely want to touch on this side of the label as well. Artists like Tommy Guerrero and Keyboard Money Mark, and sort of very almost California sounding music. Like, tell us about your passion for this side
of things. Well, it was the relationship with the Beasties was quite influential in that way in skateboard culture. You know, pretty much everybody apart from me that came through the doors of the early days, doors of My Wax, were skateboarders.
Yeah.
And so there was always this kind of, there was always a relationship with a lot of what was going on at that time. We'd give music to a lot of the skateboard videos. I wouldn't tell Universal, I'd just let them do it. Rough Trade had Slam City Skates, so Rough Trade was the best, one of the best record stores in London.
Yeah.
And big supporters of My Wax, so...
That's the original, the original Rough, the original, not the original Rough Trade, but the original Slam City Skates in Covent Garden.
You'd have one in, well, there was one in, they'd have the basement where all the clothes were stored in Talbot Road in West London, and you had the one in Covent Garden, but...
The basement in Covent Garden, not trying to go down a reminisce here, but I went in there the other day to see if my name was still on the ceiling, because you remember everyone used to sign their name on the ceiling. And I think there's like Luscious Jackson and the Beastie Boys, and everyone still signed their names on the ceiling down there. So some classic era, and this kind of sort of skateboard culture, rock and roll, hip hop meets kind of Shuggy Otis, California. What I mean, how did you tap into that?
It just kind of happened. It was that sound that was going on at the time, you know. Tommy Guerrero, like you said, Money Mark, the whole Grand Royale thing, which was the Beastie Boys label, Sukia, the Dust Brothers, you know. It's California, man. It's lazy and light and, you know, it's that kind of sound.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely good for what was going on being smoked in the rooms at that time, so, you know.
I highly recommend this this album. It's called A Little Bit of Something. Came out on Mo Wax. It's by Tommy Guerrero.
He still does great stuff now, still touring and doing good things, man. And he was one hell of a skateboarder. Hell yeah.
Yeah. This is a track called So Blue It's Black. Probably my favourite track from this album, but the whole album's amazing. It's sort of like all on this tip. Super soulful.
It's kind of a precursor for who's the big guy? Jack Johnson. That whole thing really took that to the next level.
Should we play a little Money Mark moment quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing this with no headphones, so we'll just have to wait for it to start. Money Mark, this is the single. Track called Cry. Another side of the amazing Mo Wax Records, subject of our label focus tonight on BBC Radio 1.
Radio 1. You every day till the setting sun.
special guest James Lavelle in the studio, talking Meltdown, talking Mo'Wax. And I was just saying off mic, like, how every single one of these records is sort of like an iconic sleeve. It's an amazing output in quite a short space of time when you think about it.
Yeah.
And all of these sleeves featured in the book in some way.
Most of them, not all of them. Yeah. Funnily enough, most of the ones that you've chosen have actually, yeah. Which is quite interesting. Well, so there must be some symbiotic thing that the sleeves do work in that way.
No, the sleeves do work.
Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, yeah.
There's definitely sections in a record collection, aren't there? There's like, yeah. There's like house, techno, hip hop, Brazilian, you know, whatever, pop. And then there's like bits in your record collection where it's labels.
Yeah.
You know, like things that are kind of iconic enough to have their own section in your record collection. And that is a huge compliment in and of itself, in a way.
That's what I wanted. I mean, I remember one of my favourite moments and greatest accolades was getting into Record Collector magazine.
It's the nerd hour,
yeah,
on Radio
made it
1.
Now. You know, forget Forbes, it was all about Record Collector magazine.
And talking of Record Collector and sort of nerding out on kind of old records and stuff, there was definitely a heritage element to the label as well. You reissued and Liquid and put people onto that and that whole sort of 99 Records era of music. But also, you managed to get this guy, one of the most legendary sort of sampled people of all time, to make a new album.
Strangely, kind of half new, half not.
So tell us that story quickly.
So David Axelrod, who was mostly known for the sample used by Eminem and Dr. Dre, but has been used in a lot of great hip-hop records over the years, and DJ Shadow, Midnight in a Perfect World. He was one of mine and Shadow's heroes. I managed to locate him. Crazy story. I got Uncle was strange that we sampled Star Wars and we were allowed to sample it, which was unheard
sampled
of.
What?
Star Wars, and we were flown to the to Lucas Ranch instead of being told off. And I was made an honorary member of the Star Wars fan club and taken around Lucas Ranch with Shadow.
Hold on, and there's a special significance to that story in the fact that you were supposedly, back in the day, it was always taught that James Lavelle had a life-size C-3PO in his house or something. Or was it a stormtrooper?
There was
or
lots of things going on at the time, yeah. But yeah, it was pretty...
Are you like A1 nerd?
Not anymore, but no. There was moments of it back in the day, yeah.
So how did it feel back in the day when you got flown over to Star Wars creator George Lucas's
pretty
place?
Pretty amazing. I think one of the premises was Shadow was meant to be remixing the forthcoming new Star Wars theme. And that was this whole thing that, you know, it didn't happen in the end. But I ended up going to the studio where they were doing THX and recording stuff. And
As you do.
And the woman that ran it ran Capitol Studios in the 60s and was his friend, David Axel's friend. And she,
what?
So I got hooked up through her, which is just crazy. Met him, became friends, and finally discovered that he had an acetate of rhythm tracks from 1960, whatever, 1968, yeah, about then. And we decided to embark on finishing the record, which became the longest. It came in the Guinness Book of Records, the longest record ever recorded.
How long?
I don't know, 35 years, something like that.
Wow, okay. And how long when you were involved in it?
A couple of years, about 3 or 4 years to get it together. What it was a big labour of love. And we recorded in Capitol, we had some of the original rhythm section come back in.
So George Lucas hadn't done the sort of the other three Star Wars at this point when you went to me?
Yeah.
So what did you make of those?
We'll move on.
Yeah, okay. You heard about the cast for the new one, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's kind of nostalgia, but hopefully he'll do something interesting with it.
All right, it's time to play another eccentric character that you managed to meet during the Mo'Wax years. Maybe one of the most eccentric.
Yeah, my memory of meeting him was quite mental in LA. Walking into what was going on in that room was slightly a shock as a kid coming from Oxford, you know.
We'll just use our imagination.
Yeah, please do.
Cool Keith, Dr. Octagon.
Let me show you something. Dr. Octagon, paramedic fetus of the East, with priests I'm from the church of the operating room, with the strikes of force, scalpel since the Holocaust. I do indeed in greed, explore, meet the patients, back the rooms with the nurse with the voodoo curse. Holding up office lights, standing at huge heights, back and forth, left wing, swing to north, east and south with blood pouring down your mouth. I come prepared with the white suit and stethoscope, listen to your heartbeat, delete, beep, beep, beep. Your insurance is high, but my price is cheap. Look at the land, blue flowers, run by the purple pond. See the polka dots, blue flowers, growing by the purple pond. Yellow indigo, blue flowers, growing by the pond. Look, it's raining yellow. Would you care to listen to any more? Thank you. Holding bags on down right from the hospital, it's the patient's work to keep the germs off the turf. Cybernetic microscopes and metal antidotes, two telescopes that magnify the eyes of a roach. The computer to cup a coffee planet with my hand and astral planet detached, turn on rare foggers. Cut the light on the kid and turn it bright on. Supersonic waves combine and burn his brain waves. I see the mascot of evil, he's not Knievel. Shakespeare's gone, don't even think about him. Yes. As I go into the park, I see blue flowers, draining green. By the pond, blue flowers, it's totally raining green. Boy, blue flowers, I smell the bees and the birds. Blue flowers, different aspects of life. Blue flowers.
Benji B, 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 Benji B.
Cool Keith, the legendary ultramagnetic MC in his slightly scary Dr. Octagon guise.
Indeed. Amazing record, though.
Sick record.
Album just changed things. It was just that beginning of really interesting independent American hip-hop.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember really a star moment on that record was actually Q-Bert.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, amazing turntablist, greatest turntablist in the world. And the way he rocked it on that track was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about the visual element of the label, because I think we really need to discuss that, because it's such a huge part of Mowax's identity. And I know we've touched on it, but, you know, I've got to say shout out to everyone that was involved in all of these amazing sleeves, because we've got them all in the crowd at the moment and it's absolutely beautiful. You know, music from 3D, best known as obviously part of Massive Attack, Wild Bunch Crew, Future 2000, who, when you look at, you know, some of his original pieces and photographs, it says like 1971 and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he was doing the whole thing with The Clash and Celluloid and Basquiat and Haring and, you know.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's interesting because there's people that have, you know, been incredibly influential to, you know, me growing up and coming through Mowax, as well as people that we start together, and people have come out of it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's I suppose that's the wonderful thing about, you know, having those experiences, is it kind of brings all of these different things together.
And I certainly first came across, you know, the amazing work of Will Bankhead through Mo Wax back in the day.
Yeah.
And he's gone on to do, I mean, so many things, it's too many things to mention, but currently does an amazing label called Trilogy Tapes. Obviously does artwork for Palace, Skateboard Crew, has done artwork for Hessel Audio and a lot of independent labels now. And I kind of wanted to bring it bang up to date and, you know, see what you think about how the aesthetic and the kind of lifestyle of what Mo Wax was and as a label is kind of influencing what people are doing now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely has, whether it's directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
I don't think you know, the way that people, like, on one level, the Pharrells and the Kanye's role, and that filters down to things like Odd Future and the fact that people have... they have a world around them, their universe that they've created visually.
Yeah.
And that goes into whether it's sneakers or toys or collaborations with brands.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that aesthetic part of it was so important to not only the label's identity, but your identity. I mean, you were definitely the first person in London that I saw rocking a Bathing Ape, the first person I knew that had sort of collaborated or spoken to or met up with Nigo in Japan and really bridged that gap. And there was a certain period I remember seeing you in and around London where you pretty much didn't wear anything other than Bathing Ape.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously those people, Nigo...
I was very influenced by Japanese street culture.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a combination of Bathing Ape, Supreme. You know, I knew James, who started Supreme, from day one. My oldest best friend is Giovanni, that runs... well, it's not my oldest friend, but one of my greatest best friends and one of my oldest friends. He runs Supreme in New York, you know. There was all of those things coming together. But all of that communication came out of a love of music and a love of clubs and DJs. That was the kind of foundation for a lot of those cultures, or where those cultures went visually, you know.
Yeah, definitely. But counterculture and skateboard culture and all of the things that you're talking about, as you just mentioned, have bled completely into what we would now describe as the mainstream, you know, because obviously Pharrell collaborates with Nigo, you know, the influence of a lot of those clothing.
Well, now it's
labels.
Now it's up to the point of Uniqlo.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the fact that I have a 16-year-old daughter who wears Supreme and is into Bathing Ape, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
And there are kids that are into it for, you know, there's hardcore skaters that are rocking Palace and Supreme because that's their world and their identity.
Yeah,
there's
a
whole other world of people that are rocking it for very different reasons. I think for when we were kids it was smaller and it was, you could identify people the way that they dressed in a much clearer way than you can now.
Almost tribal.
Absolutely, it wasn't almost, it was tribal.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
And through that tribal kind of approach to music, clothes, lifestyle, art, you know, culture, Mo Wax definitely kind of, to me, epitomises an approach to sort of international community crew, you know, having a community wherever you land, whether it be Tokyo, LA, New York, you know, but not in a kind of pretentious way, just like
It wasn't like an entourage, like it wasn't like, it's hard to explain, it's not like... It was about having your people and your places and the spaces and the things to go, which I think is the same for everybody now. It was just a lot more smaller. You know, the access to information was smaller, so the groups of people tended to be quite intense and tended to be very creative, and so a lot of things came out of that in that way.
Yeah, and of course it's like an obvious thing to say, but, you know, then... now we would discover the DJ Crush of now through SoundCloud on the internet, you know, or we would discover the Josh DJ Shadow through, you know, YouTube.
Yeah.
Whereas in those days in the UK, to discover DJ Crush, you either needed to be rich and be able to go to Tokyo, or you needed a label like Mo Wax to bring it to you.
Well,
you
know, it wasn't
about
being rich, though. You did have to just find a way. And the point was that we weren't rich kids.
No, I meant more for, like, music consumers. Instead of, like, having the resources to go and find stuff yourself in countries, you would rely on imprints like Mo Wax to bring it to
absolutely.
You. That's what I meant.
Totally. Yeah.
So in the background, it's music by The Pretty. Just lining up a record.
Yeah, The Prunes from Denmark. That was another kind of from the sort of on the international European front.
The reason I wanted to ask you about, like, you know, the influence today is because, you know, I feel like we do this thing on the show called Label Focus. And I think that part of it is obviously to do with us loving the music on the label.
Yeah.
But I think that it's not a coincidence that we also choose labels that have a really strong identity as well. And I feel like in the sort of post-90s, early 2000s, there was a bit of a barren period where I didn't really feel like with that, that coincided with kind of like digital music emerging and whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like there were a lot of those. And then towards the end of that decade, you know, if you look at the era, the generation of labels like Night Slugs, Hessel Audio, you know, Swamp 81, all of these dance, whatever genre of music, it doesn't matter, that are coming through, the visual side and the kind of crew side and all of those things have become very important again. If you look at like Fade to Mind with Kingdom and what they're doing, you know, it's almost like I can think of those labels and straight away have a picture in my mind of the aesthetic and the texture of music that goes with it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's I love the fact that that continues. You're kind of, you're in that funny place because you were a kid buying records, but you were also part of what was going on and around and involved and then what you've gone on to do. You know, I think I'm very proud that, you know, this, that what you hear and what we're talking about has relevance, you know.
And it's definitely had a huge influence on me, that's for sure. Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about Meltdown.
Cool.
After this one, what does your soul look like? Classic 12-inch DJ Shadow. I can remember where, and it's an amazing sort of attachment that you have to music when you're a kid. And I was at school when I bought this, James, early years of secondary school, I remember. And I remember you fly posted it with around London with this amazing iconic DJ Shadow, What Does Your Soul Look Like sort of artwork. Who did this sleeve?
Ben Drury and Shadow, I think, actually. Yeah,
sort of iconic sleeve, this.
And quite strange, quite sort of
Yeah, I just remember the excitement of when these records
finally
dropped.
They were shrink-wrapped. I remember they were shrink-wrapped.
Yeah.
And the thing which was reminds me of that time of that record, that was the kind of record, that was the time when it was all going off about signing the label to a major.
Right, right.
And that was the track that was going around that was kind of like, okay, you know,
yeah,
this is something special.
Yeah.
And it was sort of between Virgin and Universal and various other, well, A&M at the time. That record was kind of, it was also the first single that really kind of went into the next level. You know, it was like record labels kind of have moments of when they jump, and this was the jump.
Yeah, definitely. You know? If you just joined us tonight, it's Radio 1. You've got James Lavelle in the studio with me, Benji B, talking through Mo Wax. And we're going to be talking about Meltdown as well. Probably the most significant sort of arts festival that happens in the UK, probably. No pressure, yeah, mate.
No pressure.
So, what is Meltdown and when were you asked to do it?
Meltdown is a festival that runs for 10 days on the South Bank in London, and covers their music venues there, which is notably the Royal Festival Hall, the Purcell Rooms, and the Queen Elizabeth Hall. And basically, over the past 21 years, they've had somebody they've asked to curate the festival, so usually a musician.
So to give us some names of people.
Well, they've had as musicians, they've had everybody from Patti Smith and David Bowie. They've had Morrissey. They've had bands like Massive Attack.
They had Lee Scratch Perry.
Yeah, Lee Scratch Perry, Ornette Coleman.
So how did it feel when you got asked?
Amazing privilege, amazing honour.
Yeah.
You know, taking it with a lot of pride.
Yeah. So what did you want to achieve with your programming, apart from obviously booking loads of stuff that you love?
Yeah, I wanted to create something which was part of my history, something from things that have inspired me, things that I am inspired by.
100%. So who have you booked?
A wide range of people. So I'm doing my show, the first Uncle show in a while.
Wow. And how are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling all right. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
I am feeling all right. I've left it up to other people, so they're probably not at the moment.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that tonight, but in case you didn't know and you haven't made the connection yet, James Lavelle is Uncle. An uncle at one point in time was you and DJ Shadow.
Yeah, Tim Goldsworthy, who set up DFA, that was first. And then me and Shadow and me and Richard File. And there's lots of people that have come and worked on it over the years. It's been a real eclectic mix of people and a lot of collaborations with people from everybody from Tom York through to Queens of the Stone Age. And then lots of different things. So it's hard. There's a lot of different things going on. There's everything from people like Goldie doing an orchestral version of Timeless, through to nights with people like Giles Peterson, DJ Milo from the Wild Bunch, DJ Harvey.
And it's definitely representative of everything we've been talking about today in terms of like your influences,
yeah,
from Wild Bunch all the way through to, you know, discovering techno, house, folk.
Yeah, no, rock, it's amazing, you know, and I'm really pleased. Yeah, Grandmaster Flash and Scratch Perverts, and, you know. Yeah.
So it's like it's a good excuse to book some heroes as well, basically.
It is, and that's, you know, I'm a fan, so, you know, now getting to the point where it's about to kick off, you know, I'm just going to be running around. I've pulled out a few records that definitely need to get signed.
For sure.
Yeah.
So we're going to take some pictures of some of the records that I've brought in tonight, but if you want to see the artwork, it's going to be on show at the Mo Wax exhibition, which is where?
The Mo Wax exhibition will be at actually in the South Bank Centre,
right,
underneath the Royal Festival Hall.
Perfect, where all the skaters hang out.
Just nearby.
and the Mo Wax 21-year urban archaeology book is...
That comes out for then, so that will be around hopefully the week.
Oh, so it's out this month?
Yeah, out this month, yeah.
James, thanks so much for passing through, man.
Oh, no, thank you. It's been a really lovely evening, and it's been really great hearing you sort of play these records.
Thanks, James.
Thanks. Thank you.